From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kearns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we continue our study of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. We have been looking at the righteous kingdom of God, the subjects of the kingdom, and the statutes of the kingdom, and currently we're looking at the standard of the kingdom. And today we'll progress a little further, and we will look at the service of the kingdom of God. So stay with us as in a few minutes we turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Before that, we'll have our usual good gospel music. But before that, we start, as we like to do each day, with our hot topic, our daily commentary. And today, it's called Seeing Green. Politicians are seeing green these days. As usual, they are eyeing the greenbacks in your pocket and are using the fears generated by the green lobby. You know, the earth's beginning to boil, and unless we allow ourselves to be taxed out of existence, we'll be responsible for the destruction of the planet. Al Gore and his cronies want us all to lessen our carbon footprint, which is just high-tech jargon for using less electricity and less fuel, travelling less, and generally returning to a more primitive, sorry, they would say, an environmentally more caring lifestyle. Those who don't meet the arbitrary standards set by the loony left of the earth-worshipping brigade will have to pay dearly to purchase carbon credits from carbon banks. Someone has aptly described this plan as the modern equivalent of the Roman Catholic Church's scheme of indulgences in the Reformation period. Rome placed a tax on sin. Pay and you could sin with impunity. Green politicians place a tax on energy use. Pay up and you can use as much as you like. That's what Al Gore does. Of course, if you can't afford to pay the extra tax, you can sit at home and shiver. If all this sounds far-fetched, just consider what's happening in the United Kingdom. The Chancellor of the Exchequer, that's the man in charge of the nation's treasury, has already set the agenda to impose a carbon tax on businesses. He intends to extend the tax to individuals in the near future. This is from a socialist government. The Conservative Party agrees entirely and would go even further by imposing a new tax on all air travel. Those pesky planes are the aerial equivalent of the notorious SUVs that environmentally insensitive cads drive around in. The fact that the entire green culture is based on bogus science doesn't deter the politicians. They're not swayed by scientific evidence that Jupiter is experiencing global warming. And as far as anybody knows, there aren't any planes or SUVs up there. No, politicians just love the public's hysteria on green issues. As I said at the top, when green issues let them get their hands on the real green, the money in your pocketbook, they become environmental zealots. Of course, they are not so green that they curtail their air travel or their luxurious lifestyle. Though Britain's Conservative leader has donned a ridiculous-looking helmet and taken to riding a bike, at least when the press are in attendance. If you thought green was the colour of the environment, or was the mark of the Irish, think again. It's the colour of your money disappearing down the drain of endless and needless taxation. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and the program originates from our church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'd like to invite you to make sure you spend this part of the day each day with us here on the program, and we'd also like you to participate by getting in touch with us. The mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. That's 1-866-877-5827. LTBS. Do keep us in your prayers, and don't forget this week to be in touch with us here at Let the Bible Speak.
By and by.
now return to our study of the life of Christ and his Sermon on the Mount, and we will take up the study today where we left off yesterday, pointing out that the Lord Jesus Christ undertook to give his people a true interpretation of what the law always meant, its spiritual meaning that stands fast to this very day. So let's turn to the Word of God in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5.
The Lord Jesus is saying, this is what you've heard. This is what people think the law is. But I am now going to give you not a new interpretation of the law, not an extended interpretation of the law. I'm not giving you a replacement of the law. What I am giving you is what the law meant all along. I want you to get that. This is what the law meant from the beginning. In other words, Jesus wasn't adding new sins to the list. He's saying, look, this is the real inwardness of the law. This is the real spiritual meaning of the law. And if you understand that, then you'll see the standard of holiness that God wants from his people. What does it all come down to? It comes down to this scary, and I will use that word, this scary proposition, this command of verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, even if you take the word perfect as meaning be complete, entire, self-consistent in your dealings with all these different kinds of situations and people, even then, this is a tremendous command. But I don't believe that any man could have heard the Lord Jesus say those words without being struck with the absolute moral perfection of God. And Jesus says, be like your Father. Be like your Father. We all have to be like somebody. You see a baby, and you see the women cooing and ooing and ooing and eyeing over it. It's just like its mother. Sometimes the poor infant is just like its father. If you pray hard enough, he might grow out of it. But oh, how they love to see the family likeness. Look at your life and look at mine. What is the image it's supposed to bear? Jesus says, be like your Father. Let the perfections of God, let the holiness of God, let the moral purity of your God, let the dealings of God with people, let his love for others, let God's glory be seen in you. You're his child. I'm looking for the family likeness. That's the standard. That's the standard of the kingdom. What a condemnation of modern Christianity. I wonder how many professing Christians this turns into ungodly, unconverted, unsaved sinners. People who say, I'm a subject of the kingdom, but they want to look like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, imbibe all the things of the world. They want to live by the standards of the world. They want to be in friendship and in fellowship with the world. They want to be in love with the world. And I tell you, it's impossible. This is what John had in mind when he wrote in 1 John chapter 2, if any man love the world. He's not talking about admiring mountains and rivers and plains and oceans. He's talking about a heart conforming to the pleasures and to the processes of this world. A man or a woman who is given over to the system of this world, who is bending his heart and mind and soul and energy, and it's totally earthly and worldly. He's saying, if any man love the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. Later Jesus said, you can't love God and mammon. And that's true of all of worldliness. We are in the world. Jesus is not calling for isolation from the world. Otherwise you'd never be salt or light. But he's calling for holiness in the midst of it. Be perfect. Be a reflection. Be a reflection of your Father which is in heaven. I said that was a scary proposition. How much of God could anybody ever see in me? How much of God has anybody ever seen in you? We look at other Christians, we can tell sometimes their job, we can tell their position in society, we can tell their politics, we can tell this, we can tell, oh my, they've got the image of all these other things. But how much of God? How much of Him? This is the standard, because we have these statutes of the kingdom. I will sum up very quickly the service of the kingdom, which is what chapter 6 is all about. Because there are three areas of service. There's alms giving, chapter 6 verses 1 through 4. That's giving of our substance. God's people have received much. That makes them the most generous people on earth. A tight-fisted Christian is a contradiction in terms. I want you to understand that. You say you love God and you can see your brother in need and do nothing to alleviate his need, go think again. You don't begin to know what it is to love God. That's what the Apostle John says. Alms. Those are the areas of service. Prayer gives us the example of the Lord's Prayer, and then a couple of illustrations where we're emptied and we're crying to the Lord. Fundamental to all our praying is, hallowed be thy name, declare thy holiness, advance thy kingdom, do thy will. Prayer. And then there's fasting. The denial of the flesh in a zeal to do business with God. Now in all these things he said, no self-righteousness, get away from the show of the Pharisees. If you give to be seen to be giving, you may enrich the people to whom you give, but spiritually it's worth nothing before God. If you pray to be heard of men, it's not simply that some prayers must be heard of men. The Bible commands public prayer, commands corporate prayer, Some prayers must be heard by men. That's not what the Lord Jesus is talking about. But if you are praying in order to be heard of men, if you are praying to make an impression on men instead of doing business with God, it's not praying, no matter what the men around you think about it. If you fast to make people think how holy you are, how sad you look. Jesus says, if you're so anxious to do business with God without getting into fasting, it is usually facing a great crisis, a great need, seeking for a great blessing, needing tremendously the guidance of God, as in Acts 13, when the church with prayer and fasting sought the will of God, and they set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work to which God had called them. I said, if you have some great burden and it calls on you to be disinterested for a time in eating and drinking in order to devote yourself to cry to God, remember, don't think that the value of it is in letting so many people know by looking sad. Forget about Phariseeism, but here are the areas of service. Alms. Giving of your substance, prayer, emptying your soul before God in holy supplication, and fasting, denying the flesh in your zeal to do business with God. The attitudes of that service are given in the rest of the chapter. Verse 19 to 21 is saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What's he saying? Serve for eternity. That's it. Serve for eternity. And that's another very, very, very scary idea. I've said to many of my brethren, and God knows my heart, I said with fear and trembling, these are things I could have said 30 years ago in theory, and as I would have thought with honesty. But I have to say, 30 years ago, it didn't have the impact in my heart that it has today. The older I get, the nearer I get to that day when I'm going to stand before God to render up an account of my ministry, the more I look critically on the years of my service, and the more I wonder, Lord, no matter what men think, have I anything to render up to God? Paul warned preachers about building wood and hay and stubble. Things that look good for a time in the eyes of men, but in the final analysis, they count for nothing. Labor not for time, not for the meat that perishes, not for the applause of men, not even for the building or the bigness of the church. Not for a reputation, not for success, but labor for eternity. Labor for eternity. That's how you serve. God help us to serve with eternity's values in view.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, We'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.